You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition, and this is the start of the summer session. So I want to first welcome back all the students. I hope they enjoyed their short break. And this is summer session one. They have two sessions, one and two. So not only the students are back, but so are many of the faculty and staff. We had some breaking news. Really, it happened in London, England, in the evening. And most of us learned of it either Sunday or today. I was doing a lot of reading, and I really don't have a television at home, so I found out about it on the radio, I believe, Sunday night, and I didn't have any details. Now, I've done a lot of preparation, so I have a lot more details now that I'll briefly summarize. Seven people were killed. They were either run over by a van, or once the van stopped, really wrecked it, three people jumped out with knives and started to stab people, so a total of seven people died. The three attackers, and they're definitely jihadists this time, are dead, shot dead by the police. The police responded fairly quickly. Remember, this is in the heart of London, so I'm not surprised that was a quick response. But what you got to realize, and many people don't, is most of the police in Great Britain, United Kingdom, are not armed. Yes, they're not armed. Just like in France. Remember Paris, France, the attack there? They're not armed. So when an attack develops like this, they have to get arms. And they have people, obviously, tasked. Some of the officers do carry weapons and respond, and it was a fast response. But it still took 8 minutes. The other thing you need to understand is United Kingdom, like Australia, they've disarmed their own people. That's right, they've disarmed their own people. So the only people that have the weapons besides the police are criminals and terrorists. Think about that. Because if this happened in the United States, and I think it's only a matter of time before we're going to have another attack, many people in the United States do have concealed carry licenses or permits, and they have to take some training, and many of them are serious about this. They routinely practice, and you should practice shooting. Should attack occur, why, not many people in a given area specifically might have guns. There usually are one or more people that do, which means you don't have to wait for the police. That is the false sense of security you get. I'm on a college campus, and college campuses are notorious for being, largely in the United States, gun-free zones. They're rather proud of that. We're gun-free zones. Yet, where do the mass shootings happen in the United States? Yes, you're right, on gun-free zone college campuses or schools. Now, yes, we have police on campus, and there are surveillance cameras all over this campus. There are upwards of 200, maybe more by now, cameras, because we have a very large campus. But it's still going to take the police, once they are alerted, and usually someone is phoning them, hey, we have somebody causing a disturbance or something in the area, it's going to take them several minutes I would say at least 3 to 5. I relate the story, and I'll tell it again. One time I was between buildings. I was walking more towards the heart of the campus. I just left the administration building, which is Thunder Duck Hall, and was on the side of the building heading towards El Paso. And I note I heard some screaming, and I turned. It was someone in the major parking lot. And this went on for a couple of minutes. And I'm sure, and I hope, someone, I didn't have a cell phone then, called and alerted the Richland campus police. And it was a good at least 3 minutes, I would say 4 or 5 minutes, before the police arrived. Someone was trying to steal a vehicle, and that's what she was screaming about. And yeah, the police responded. They're the first responders, but by then, I don't know if they ever captured him. I didn't see a news report or any information on the news. But when you're relying on police, it's after the fact. The attack, the crime, whatever it is, it's already happened. And why surveillance cameras are useful, it's mainly evidence after the attack or crime has been committed. So a lot of people are asking, especially in London today, this is the third attack. We need to be more proactive, I think is the word now being used. Prevention. What are we doing to prevent these attacks? In my opinion, it's not much. It's not that they don't go have some drills occasionally, but you need to get at the source. And part of the problem is just like Europe, United Kingdom had more or less an open door immigration policy. And as a result, you have a large number of Muslims from many countries in the United Kingdom. Now, this is not, and if you look at the title, this is a radical Islamic terrorist jihadist attack. These people are religious fanatics. They're extremists. And if you don't believe in their religion, you're fair game. Doesn't matter if you're not in the military. Notice they don't attack the military. They attack civilians in London. Now, they have attacked on occasion military people in Great Britain. I think one got beheaded. He was wearing his uniform, and that can be dangerous in the United Kingdom. And it can be dangerous in the United States. Remember the attack at Fort Hood, where many military, and the military was unarmed. That's another problem. We've disarmed our military. We disarmed the police. And what does the lying lunatic left, the losers, want to do? They want to disarm the population. See, they're afraid of the people. We have the Second Amendment here, and no way is the Democratic Party, the Socialists, the Marxists, the Communists, they're not going to disarm the American people. But let them keep trying, because we'll be pushing back. We're not going to disarm like Australia or the United Kingdom. The American people are wise to the fact that the left in this country wants to assume political power and disarm the American people and suppress dissent. What is political correctness? You hear that word today, especially. It's ripe in the news. You can, if you listen to some of the news reports out of Great Britain, you hear it. Oh, we can't be sure that they're terrorists. Or excuse me, I understand it. People, there are accidents. People have heart attacks behind the wheel, and that could have been what happened. But that was quickly dismissed when three men jump out and start with knives, long knives, probably machetes, and start killing people. I think that's your first clue that, no, I don't think this is an automobile accident. They had a rented Hertz van. And what have we learned so far? Now, this is just coming out, so I don't have any clips on it yet, but I probably will follow up Monday. We've learned through newspaper reports, as well as reports on U.S. news, it's made it over here, that on several occasions, if you see something, report it. It was reported that this one of the guys that involved in this, the leader of it, was radicalized. And he's saying crazy things. He was saying what jihadists believe. Now, the government, what's real convenient here, well, they're going to blame the internet. I'm going to play Prime Minister's Mays. I think it's in roughly 7-8 minute clip. And we've heard this before. I'm playing because she does give the details. And yes, they're radicalized over the internet. YouTube is one, Twitter, Facebook. Is that the problem? No, it's the government not stopping this by opening the borders to mass migration, which brought in a lot of radical Islamists, and they're spreading their fundamental extreme version of Islam in Great Britain. And they attack their own people. It's like, if you don't agree with my religious beliefs, you're fair game. We can kill you. That's what they're doing. It's about time that the communities, the Muslim communities throughout the world, stop this. And there's a breaking news story that I'm going to really cover tomorrow. 7 Arab countries. And this is a long time coming. I've been saying this for years, not as strongly, that Qatar has been playing both sides. They've been supporting their wealth is a natural gas field that they share with the Islamic Republic of Iran. You need to understand that. But they have been sending money to Al-Qaeda, the Islamic State, and other radical groups throughout the Middle East, the Muslim Brotherhood. In Egypt, Saudis and others have come out and are trying to isolate Qatar. It's about time. Now, in terms of Saudi Arabia, their hands are not clean either. Now, this is refreshing. It's long overdue. But what's the problem here? And I'll give you more details tomorrow. The United States has two major bases there, an Air Force base, as well as a base where they pre-position military assets that they need for any conflict in the Middle East. It's Qatar's somewhat centrally located. And I've been saying for a long time, this is very much an Arab problem, and it's an Arab problem that has to be solved by the Arabs and the Sunnis. Arab is the ethnic group. Sunni is the religious sect. But there are differences, many differences, in terms of the Sunnis. And the Wahhabi sect is the most fundamental and extreme. That's the one dominates Saudi Arabia, but that's the militant Wahhabis are predominantly the Islamic State. So it gets complicated real quick. That's encouraging, but what is the United States going to do? And this has been going on for years, folks. Decades, actually centuries. You have tribal differences, you have ethnic differences, you have religious differences, and when you have that mixture, it can be, and recently, and for long periods, it's been very violent. You've had civil wars. Now there have been periods of peace broken up by violent periods where they're fighting each other. And I say keep the United States out of it, in the sense that we're not sending our military in there any longer. We're not sending combat troops for sure. We'll provide them intelligence. We'll provide them training. We'll provide them support. We'll sell them arms. But you have to clean up the monster. You created the monster of the Islamic State. You have to destroy this Frankenstein. And the sooner you do that, the better. But that means once that's accomplished, and that's not going to be easy, I think it's going to take years. You need to have, in the areas that are Sunni, predominantly Sunni, they need to have their own army. Ultimately, I think what has to happen in Iraq is it has to be broken up. Because you have, in the south, central, you have the predominant group are Shia. In the north and the west, it's Sunni. In the northeast, it's the Kurds. So that area has to be broken up. Part will be Kurds, part will be Sunni, part will be Shia, and parts will be both, call it international. But what's the difficulty in doing that? It's very simple. It's oil. The national interest of the United States, the only reason we are messing with this is the oil. Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and now other countries have oil. Qatar has oil. That's the driver. That's the only reason they get any attention. If there were any other country, they just had sand, no oil, we would never have been in there, and we have never would have never spent billions of dollars. So it's time for the Arab nations to get their act together. And you also have the division between those that want a secular state and those that want a religious state, that want Sharia law, and those that want to establish a new caliphate. Turkey is a good example of it, trying to do that. And for hundreds of years, the Ottoman Empire ruled that area. So it's a mess. And it's spreading to Europe, has spread to Europe, it has spread to the United States. And because of the internet, you have young people. They're primarily males. They're primarily young. I'm sure there's some women, but we don't know about them. But the fighters, the jihadists, the holy warriors. Jihad means struggle, and there are different meanings of struggle. What we're talking about here is the lesser struggle against who? Who are they struggling against? Christians, Jews, anyone of another religion. You're considered an apostate. You're beyond the pale. Now, at one time, Christians and Jews were tolerated. But today, especially with the radical Islamic terrorists, jihadists, they're not tolerated. They want a war. They want to provoke What they're trying to do is provoke a response out of Europe, out of the United Kingdom, out of the United States. They want to have a rematch, if you will. I don't think they're going to get it from us, but they should get it from people that share their own faith. Because the American people are war-weary, and they're not going to lose their sons and daughters or have them maimed, severely injured, lose legs, arms, head injuries, and as a result of combat, commit suicide at high rates. It's expensive being policemen of the world. It's expensive to intervene in country after country, and that is the problem. We've turned the United States from a representative republic to an American empire, from an American republic to an American empire. It really started with World War II. It accelerated during the Cold War, and now today, sad to say, we are a very large hegemon, superpower, an American empire, intervening in country after country. Like most, really all empires, they eventually decline and fall because they overreach. And they overreach because it's expensive to project power abroad. So what is the answer to stopping these terrorist attacks? First of all, I don't think they're going to stop very soon. And I've heard today, and this is the first time I've heard this, I knew it was coming. I knew it was a matter of time. And I'm now hearing it spoken. It's not that people haven't thinking about it. Interning radical Muslims. That means putting them in concentration camps. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Picking up these radicals and imprisoning them and processing them, and many of them will be sent back to their current country of origin, wherever that is. But this is too late. It's the governments of these nations are well aware that they face a big economic problem with declining population. The birth rates are simply too low. And the birth rates are very much higher amongst immigrants that profess the Muslim faith. They're waking up to the fact that many of these people, some would say most, are not assimilating. They're staying in their own ghetto, if you will, and that breeds radicalized Islamic jihadists that have been responsible for these attacks. Now, some of them are lone wolves. The last two attacks were not lone wolves, apparently, and there have been at least a dozen arrests so far. Their equivalent of the FBI is called MI5. Their equivalent of the Central Intelligence Agency is MI6, and they share information and know of many of these people. They knew the names of the leader of this attack. It was reported, as it should be, and that's dangerous to do, especially if you live in that community. And it's frustrating when nothing happens. You know, why risk anything, even though you know someone is radicalized and is probably a potential terrorist? Any day now, something can set them off, and the government does nothing about it. We all woke up Monday and learned of another attack. It's not the new normal. I always like to put in context, although I have some reservations. Your chances of being killed by a terrorist are fairly low. The probability is fairly low. You probably have more probability to be struck by lightning than be shot down or knifed or blown up by a terrorist. And one thing that somewhat complicated the situation is the three terrorists that were shot were wearing these vests, suicide bomber vests, that gave the appearance that they had explosives. They didn't have explosives. They were there to fake you out. And as a result, the police went from building to building right in the immediate vicinity and warned people, get down. They might blow themselves up. They didn't, thank God, but if they had explosives, I have no doubt that one or more of them would have blown them up. They didn't have access to it. That's why they're using vans, vehicles. You don't even need to buy a weapon. Buy a vehicle and go down the road and just run people over. And keep in mind, we're in a city. If they did this in the suburbs or in rural areas, what do you think the response time is going to be? I don't think it would be minutes. I think it would be hours. Think of rural roads. Someone that really wants to kill people just goes down the road and runs people over. It can happen in the United Kingdom. It can happen in Europe. And it can happen in the United States. That's what terror is all about. You're trying to increase fear and panic amongst the people. And it damages the economy in the sense that people want to minimize going out, shopping for food, shopping for whatever. And normally that takes typically days or weeks. Remember 9/11? Were many people traveling after 9/11, after the planes got back in the air? The answer is no. And that hit the airline industries big time. It hit hotels, resorts big time. That's what they want to do. And as they realize that prime targets, such as airports, terminals, are being covered, they look for easier targets. Gun-free zones, schools and colleges. It's like shooting ducks in a barrel, and your loved ones are the ducks. Now, I want to play Theresa May's statement in front of 10 Downing Street. And if you remember, I did play her statement after the attack in Manchester. So there's some similarities there. More people were killed there than here. But listen to what Prime Minister May has to say.
Last night, our country fell victim to a brutal terrorist attack once again. As a result, I have just chaired a meeting of the government's emergency committee, and I want to update you with the latest information about the attack. Shortly before 10 past 10 yesterday evening, the Metropolitan Police received reports that a white van had struck pedestrians on London Bridge. It continued to drive from London Bridge to Borough Market, where three terrorists left the van and attacked innocent and unarmed civilians with blades and knives. All three were wearing what appeared to be explosive vests, but the police have established that this clothing was fake and worn only to spread panic and fear. As so often in such serious situations, the police responded with great courage and great speed. Armed officers from the Metropolitan Police and the City of London Police arrived at Borough Market within moments and shot and killed the three suspects. The terrorists were confronted and shot by armed officers within 8 minutes of the police receiving the first emergency call. Seven people have died as a result of the attack, in addition to the three suspects shot dead by the police. 48 people are being treated in several hospitals across London. Many have life-threatening conditions. On behalf of the people of London and on behalf of the whole country, I want to thank and pay tribute to the professionalism and bravery of the police and the emergency services, and the courage of members of the public who defended themselves and others from the attackers. And our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and with their friends, families, and loved ones. This is, as we all know, the third terrorist attack Britain has experienced in the last 3 months. In March, a similar attack took place just around the corner on Westminster Bridge. 2 weeks ago, the Manchester Arena was attacked by a suicide bomber. And now London has been struck once more. And at the same time, the security and intelligence agencies and police have disrupted five credible plots since the Westminster attack in March. In terms of their planning and execution, the recent attacks are not connected. But we believe we are experiencing a new trend in the threat we face, as terrorism breeds terrorism, and perpetrators are inspired to attack, not only on the basis of carefully constructed plots after years of planning and training, and not even as lone attackers radicalized online, but by copying one another and often using the crudest of means of attack. We cannot and must not pretend that things can continue as they are. Things need to change, and they need to change in four important ways. First, while the recent attacks are not connected by common networks, they are connected in one important sense. They are bound together by the single evil ideology of Islamist extremism that preaches hatred, sows division, and promotes sectarianism. It is an ideology that claims our Western values of freedom, democracy, and human rights are incompatible with the religion of Islam. It is an ideology that is a perversion of Islam and a perversion of the truth. Defeating this ideology is one of the great challenges of our time, but it cannot be defeated through military intervention alone. It will not be defeated through the maintenance of a permanent defensive counter-terrorism operation, however skillful its leaders and practitioners. It will only be defeated when we turn people's minds away from this violence and make them understand that our values, pluralistic British values, are superior to anything offered by the preachers and supporters of hate. Second, we cannot allow this ideology the safe space it needs to breed. Yet that is precisely what the internet and the big companies that provide internet-based services provide. We need to work with allied democratic governments to reach international agreements that regulate cyberspace to prevent the spread of extremist and terrorism planning. And we need to do everything we can at home to reduce the risks of extremism online. Third, while we need to deprive the extremists of their safe spaces online, we must not forget about the safe spaces that continue to exist in the real world. Yes, that means taking military action to destroy ISIS in Iraq and Syria, but it also means taking action here at home. While we have made significant progress in recent years, there is, to be frank, far too much tolerance of extremism in our country. So we need to become far more robust in identifying it and stamping it out across the public sector and across society. That will require some difficult and often embarrassing conversations. But the whole of our country needs to come together to take on this extremism. And we need to live our lives not in a series of separated, segregated communities, but as one truly united kingdom. Fourth, we have a robust counter-terrorism strategy that has proved successful over many years. But as the nature of the threat we face becomes more complex, more fragmented, more hidden, especially online, the strategy needs to keep up. So in light of what we are learning about the changing threat, we need to review Britain's counter-terrorism strategy to make sure the police and security services have all the powers they need. And if we need to increase the length of custodial sentences for terrorism-related offences, even apparently less serious offences, that is what we will do. Since the emergence of the threat from Islamist-inspired terrorism, our country has made significant progress in disrupting plots and protecting the public. But it is time to say enough is enough. Everybody needs to go about their lives as they normally would. Our society should continue to function in accordance with our values. But when it comes to taking on extremism and terrorism, things need to change. As a mark of respect, the two political parties have suspended our national campaigns for today. But violence can never be allowed to disrupt the democratic process. So those campaigns will resume in full tomorrow. And the general election will go ahead, as planned, on Thursday. As a country, our response must be as it has always been when we have been confronted by violence. We must come together, we must pull together, and united, we will take on and defeat our enemies.
Now, that was Prime Minister May giving a short synopsis summary of the attack. Notice one area that she's really zeroed in on is the fact that the terrorists, or let's say terrorist-prone people, use the internet. And I think this is a little bit finger-pointing that the internet, or the people of the internet service providers and social networking sites in the United States, Facebook is the leader in that, but also YouTube, Twitter. Many of these terrorists, and there are thousands of them, have accounts and trying to say they're the problem. It's using a crisis or a terrorist attack to try to limit free speech on the internet. This is where this leads to. It gives the government an excuse to regulate the internet. And the first step is to use an attack like this. Well, we have to go after all those people that have accounts, that have contact
content related in some way or another to Islam. And there are many people that will go along with it. That's why she's throwing this card out, blaming others, the private sector, when who's to blame here? It's politicians like her. She was Home Secretary before being Prime Minister. Home Secretary has responsibility for securing the homeland. And where you've had more or less for decades now, open borders and hundreds of thousands of immigrants coming here or coming to the United Kingdom legally, their children, and that's something that needs to be emphasized. Usually, it's not the immigrants that are the problem. It's the children or the grandchildren are the problem. They cannot assimilate into, in this case, the United Kingdom's culture and society. They become alienated, and it makes them ripe to be radicalized. And many of them do. And then something triggers them to do what they did, go out and kill people, and get themselves killed. But you see, that makes them almost impossible to stop. They're suicidal. Besides being homicidal, they're suicidal. They want to die. And their religion promises them rewards. Notice also the use of the word ideology. Now, I agree, it is a political ideology. They want to establish a caliphate under Sharia law, religious law. Not under the British unwritten constitution, common law, but religious law. In the United States, they want to replace the Constitution and our laws with Sharia law. That's what they believe in. And there have been interviews with, you know, people on the street that identify, self-identify as Muslim, believers in Islam, and they're asked about Sharia law. Oh, yeah, we want Sharia law to be the law of the land. Well, that might be their view, and I think it is their view. That's what's not terrifying, but disturbing. In most countries where that are, the majority are Muslim, the majority of those believe that Sharia law should replace the law of the land. And that's why I said there's a conflict between those that want a secular, modern state versus those that want to be ruled by Sharia law. The government, together with the culture and the media, with political correctness, you know, seldom want to mention the fact and are hesitant to mention the fact that this was a radical Islamic terrorist jihadist attack. Now, I'm for not jumping to conclusions, but I don't think this was very hard to call. When that same van stopped, three people got out with knives and started killing people, and they were wearing what looked like suicide bomb vests. Oh, I'm happy that the police shot them dead and responded quickly. But political correctness can get you killed. Gun-free zones can and will get you killed. United Kingdom, except for the police, is a one large gun-free zone, as is Australia. That's why they were using the vehicle, and that's why they were using knives. If you think about it, if it's a crowded street and you have a powerful vehicle, like a truck with a lot of torque in the wheels, you can just plow people down. That's what happened in France. Remember that attack? I think over 100 were killed. He mowed them down. They were celebrating Bastille Day, I believe. He took the busiest street right on the next to the ocean and just drove right down it, swerving back and forth, killing people. More effective than, if you think about it, than a gun or a knife. You see, banning or disarming innocent law-abiding citizens is not the answer. When the United Kingdom took the arms away, what happened? Did crime go down? No, there were house break-ins because the crooks, the criminals knew, hey, they don't have weapons anymore. They don't have guns anymore. It's easier. That's why I'm for any American that wants to keep and carry weapons is fine with me to defend us against tyranny and against government limiting your freedom. That's what she's talking about here. One of the responses is, oh, we have to go after organizations that have content like that. I don't mind them pulling down, for example, heads being cut off. But where do you draw the line? And who's making these determinations? It's the government, folks. And trying to hold liable the people that are providing the service when the government has not been doing its job, has not been screening out, not just this year or the last 5 or 10 years, for decades. The same problem they have in Europe today was what we were getting into with President Obama. Maybe we'll finally wake up. See, the American people won't stand for this. They don't like the political correctness, and they don't agree with the lying lunatic left and their mouthpieces, the big lie media, going after the guns of the American people. But literally, every time there was a mass shooting, usually within minutes, You'd have either President Obama or some politician of the left. We need more gun control laws. Well, we have more than enough gun control laws. In other words, don't deal with the problem. Disarm the law-abiding. That's not an answer. That's a formula for disaster. And now they want to go after regulate speech on the internet. Well, that's not going to fly in this country, and I hope it doesn't fly in the United Kingdom. Government here, as well as in the United States, has a lot of responsibility for what has happened in the past. We finally have a president that's willing to say radical Islamic terrorists. Jihadist. Now, he normally doesn't say jihadist, but he should because that's what they are. They consider themselves soldiers, warriors of Islam. And as far as they're concerned, going after Christians, Jews, or anyone of any other religion is fine with them. Fair game. And they're killing innocent civilians. Now, I'm not saying that if someone was armed, might have stopped this. I don't think so. Because think about it. You're driving and then suddenly a truck in front of you speeds up and starts running in to people. Well, first, you know, my first response is maybe the person had a heart attack or has a medical condition. He's losing control, losing focus. It's an accident. My first response would be it's probably an accident. But if this goes on for miles, no, it's not an accident. It's a terrorist killing people. To my knowledge, we haven't had that in the United States. Instead, we've had planes colliding with tall buildings, the Twin Towers. And don't rule that out. I think, yes, we've really clamped down on people, or that's the impression they're giving. Let's put it this way. I'm not a big fan of TSA. I think it should be the responsibility of the airlines. They have the most to lose here, to have responsibility for security of their airplanes and making sure that the people that get on are not going to blow it up. TSA is largely theater. It's a work, as far as I'm concerned, it's a make work program, and it inconveniences a lot of people. They don't focus on who's the problem. Why don't they focus? Well, we can't profile Arabs or Pakistanis or Muslims. That would be racism. We can't do that. Well, who are the terrorists? Most of them came from Saudi Arabia. Didn't surprise me, where Wahhabism, also called Salafism, they're Salafist. And I'll be very careful here. Not all of them are militant, but enough of them are to make it dangerous. The militant ones are the jihadists, the extremists, also called Islamists. I think Trump is right. They're radical Islamic terrorists, and he says it. And May, Prime Minister May, was close to that today. That's an improvement. See, that's political correctness. Well, we don't want to offend. We can't offend all the Muslims. Well, excuse me. When virtually all these terrorist attacks are Muslims, that's a clue, okay? That doesn't mean everyone that's a Muslim is a terrorist. Only a small fraction are. But if you ask them, do they want Sharia law, it's not a small fraction, folks. It varies from country to country. You're talking 20, 30, 40, 50, 60%, and that's the problem. They want to overthrow our laws and our Constitution. As far as I'm concerned, if you believe in Sharia law, fine. You have one day to get on a plane and go back home. No ifs, ands, or buts. And Donald Trump is being criticized today. And I think rightly for some tweets he made, really stepping on his own position that I'm not going to get into other than to say he wants a travel ban. He actually likes the first version better than the second. The problem with that, Mr. President, you're part of a team. It's the Trump administration, and your tweets are being critical of your own team that have to take this to the Supreme Court. Your Solicitor General has to do that. I understand your frustration with these lawyers, these judges in the Fourth and the Ninth Circuit, or the districts in that. Ultimately, you should win at the Supreme Court, but who knows? I think you absolutely have the authority to do what you're doing in that regard, and I'd be frustrated too. And I would expedite and make sure that the Attorney General and the Solicitor General understand that you want this wrapped up as quick as possible and pursue it that way. So we had another terrorist attack. It's becoming the new norm. It shouldn't be normal at all. But the answer is not to limit people's use of the internet as well as their rights to bear arms. We've seen what the United Kingdom did, took all the arms of the people, and the people voted for this. Fine. I think they're having second thoughts. You know, my recommendation is bring back the rights of the citizens of the United Kingdom to own legally arms and carry arms to defend themselves and also rearm the police. It shouldn't take 8 minutes. I'm sure there were many police officers that didn't have arms. Now, one police officer did have a baton and went after the knife-wielding terrorist and apparently got him. But that's what should happen. And the American people are backing Donald Trump and his efforts to limit and really vet people coming from countries where there are terrorist activities. The American people support that. Who doesn't support that is the lying lunatic left and their mouthpieces, their propagandists in big lie media. That's racist. That's discriminating by religion. Well, I have a clue for you. We do it all the time. When someone requests refugee status, we have to ask questions. Who's persecuting you? Why are they persecuting? Is it religion? Is it politics? Is it something else? Excuse me. Donald Trump, like myself, has had enough with political correctness because I know what it is and he knows what it is. It's to quiet people. You're telling people to shut up. You can't say that. Why can't I? Well, you can't say it. Islam is both a religion and it is an ideology. You have people, the leaders, that are using a religion to get recruits. What they're about is to get power. They want to set up a totalitarian regime, just like the lying lunatic left does, the socialists, the communists, and yes, the progressives. There's a lot in common between the lying lunatic left and radical Islam. They don't like dissent. They don't like opposing views. They don't like competition. And they will use violence. Who were President Obama's friends in Chicago? Two bombers, the weathermen, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. They got lucky due to technicalities and got off. They are just as radical as they were in the 60s, and they supported Barack Obama. And Barack Obama attracted many in the far left. Remember, many communists, socialists, call themselves what? Not communists or socialists. They're not that stupid. They call themselves progressives. Isn't that nice? And yes, they were in power, especially during the first 2 to 3 terms of President FDR. And they prolonged the so-called Great Depression, really to 1946 after the war. And their experimentation, their policies failed. And that's exactly what happened with Barack Obama's. We have a stagnating economy that's growing at somewhere between 1% and 2% if we're lucky. Now, related story, really a follow-up of last Thursday's report, is the reaction, again by the lying lunatic left, when President Trump took the United States out of the Paris Accord. I'm glad he did, but they went hysterical. They went nuts. Now, why? See, the science doesn't support them. They would like you to believe, oh, there's a consensus. 97% of scientists agree. That's bogus, by the way. And before I forget, the way you listen to this program is to go to my companion blog, prankpops.wordpress.com. And under my photograph, you'll have links to the most recent shows, 60 to 80 shows. This is show 904. And I give you some of my show prep in terms of articles, cartoons, photographs, YouTube videos, information, because I want you to have an open mind and make up your own mind. And what I did Saturday was put together a lot of information. Matter of fact, I think too much information, both on the science, the economics, the politics, and yes, the propaganda of climate change, global warming, whatever they're calling it this week. The science is not very good on this. The honest, objective answers, we don't know enough about climate to determine what's causing it. We can't make predictions. One of the goals when you have a hypothesis or theory is to test it against the evidence and also make predictions of what, in this case, climate or temperature is going to do in the future. Virtually all of the evidence is based on so-called computerized climate models where they're so-called projections and they will say, well, these projections should not be considered predictions. Well, I understand why they might say that, because if you compare their projections, really it is a prediction, they're so far from reality, what's actually observed, it puts the lie to their entire hypothesis or theory. What it clearly says is we don't know enough about the mechanisms that are causing climate change. You talk to anyone in the climate era, they will say climate has been changing throughout time for over 4.55 billion years. As long as there's been an Earth, the climate has been changing, and there are many, many causes of climate. Man is just a potential cause, but really low in terms of rankings. But so-called anthropomorphic, man-made climate change is nonsense. It's been disproved because the models are not very good in predicting what? Precipitation and cloud formation. See, water vapor is a greenhouse gas, and clouds very much influence both the weather and the climate. And the models can't handle either very well. They're terrible on it. And if you don't understand how those work, you don't have a model that can predict squat. There are many causes, drivers of climate. So simply on the science, it's not there. When I, and this is many years ago, I approached this subject, I didn't have opinion one way or the other. And it took me, a good 6 months to a year researching it. So I finally came to the conclusion that many of the people that truly believe it, this has become a religion. It's not a science. It's a religion. Don't understand or don't have even the basics down of the science. Because if they did, they would come to the conclusion, well, here's the observed temperature from satellites as well as ground stations. And here are the predictions. And they're so far off. All the models, virtually all the models are wrong on their predictions. It's government-funded junk science. So what's really going on here? Why do we have this hysterical response by the left in this country? What's the real driver behind these alarmists? They are all from the left. They're progressive, socialist, communist, welfare statist. Why do they want this? Well, if you're going to make government bigger and bigger, what do you need to finance government? Yes, ladies and gentlemen. What you need is taxes, and that's what it is. It's trying to tax your energy so the price of your electricity and gasoline will first double, then triple, and quadruple. They want power. They want control. They want power and control over your lives. And to sustain that power and finance power, they need to tax you, and that's what this is about. It's to overthrow the capitalist system, the free enterprise market capitalist system. That's what they want to overthrow, and to do that, they want to get control of energy, which you need energy for both electrical power to power plants, houses, transportation, and industry. And to do it, they want you to believe that you're the problem when you're not the problem. It's junk science trying to support radical, yes, radical leftists. And that's why they're going nuts, because even though they've had some success, this is not a very hot issue anymore. I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio, podcasted by prankpops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.